welcome to the program this morning. I suppose she is one of these ladies that I don't think you could dislike this lady, because she talks for us when she's on prime time or she's having an argument with a politician and you're saying, God, ask her this or ask him that, and she does. I'm delighted to welcome to LIR this morning Miriam O'Callaghan. Miriam, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you, Harry. My pleasure.
And Miriam, was that a good introduction? Do you think that you would be talking on behalf? Because sometimes I hear you say, you know, when you're interviewing somebody, well, the listeners want to know, are you conscious of that all the time, Miriam?
All the time, Harry. So it's the best introduction you could have given me, because I always think the most important thing for an interviewer like me, particularly, say, in a politics program like Primetime, is that I ask the questions that people want me to ask. There's absolutely no point in me asking questions that I alone think should be asked. I'm there to represent the people. So it's the best thing you could have said to me, Harry.
Now, Miriam, just going back to when you got involved in the media at the beginning, was it your intention as a teenager to get into the media, or what was your plans then?
Not at all, Harry. Harry, I went to school in Dublin. My mother was a teacher. My father was a civil servant. I finished school quite early. I got a good leaving cert at the age of 16, went to UCD, studied law, went to Blackall Place, became a solicitor. And then, much to my father's broken heart, I gave it up and I went to London, actually, at the age of 22, and I just applied for a job in the Guardian as a researcher in Thames Television on the Eamon Andrews programme, This Is Your Life. So I had no career plan for the media. I just fell into it. Harry, but it was a nice falling in, and I'm happy I did so.
You look as if you enjoy every minute of it, all of the programmes that you do, and would I be right saying that?
Yeah, I do. I always say I'm very lucky, Harry, and I do a job I like, because I know lots of people who do jobs they're not mad about. So I do a job I really like. Now, sometimes prime time, certainly when you do the leaders' debates in the run-up to elections, I find them quite stressful, because I always remind myself it's live TV, and certainly on prime time, you need to know so much. There's no margin for error.
Yeah, Mary, you don't mind me asking, Miriam, for instance, when you're talking to somebody, maybe a three-way interview, somebody in outside the doll, we'd say, and somebody in the studio, and then maybe somebody live from London, and do you find that difficult?
No, I don't mind that at all, Harry. I love the more merrier. They laugh at me at work. I love live television, and the scarier it is, like the more links to Abu Dhabi or God, Qatar Sivine, the better. No, it's not. I tell you what I find tough. I find when Lord rest his soul, when you'd be interviewing somebody like Brian Lenihan, when all the financial stories went crazy in this country, that I always felt I needed to know as much about the economy as the Minister for Finance on that night. And that's like doing your finals every night, Harry. I just find the amount of knowledge that you need to know at the moment. We're all going to know what bailouts, junk stages, the lot. But you need to know an awful lot.
Yeah, because even listening to Richard Crowley last night talking to, and I'm very much into politics. I love politics. But I find sometimes I'm completely lost. Do you do each night you're doing prime time, Miriam, on the subject that night, if you know what I mean, what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, it is like doing your final exams, whether it's in school or in a university. That's how I approach it. So the fact that I do the economy regularly doesn't make it any easier, because I've got kind of a lawyer's brain. My brother's a lawyer as well, and he sets up a brain like him, which I can put a lot of information into it, Harry. I'll pack it in for the night. Do not ask me a single thing the following morning, because I would have parked it somewhere in my brain. And I leave it there until I need it again, which may be the next night.
So that's a brilliant thing to have, isn't it, though?
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing... I got that from my father, an ability to store an awful lot of information. And I can also have a slightly photographic memory, not totally. So I can see information where it is on a page and stuff. So, yeah, I'm very good at retaining information, Harry.
You mentioned Brian Lenihan there, who was a man that, even though he had a very difficult job, that he was a lovely, lovely man and came across as a very warm man. Were you conscious at all, Miriam, during interviewing him when he was very ill, that, you know, I'm not saying you went easy on him, and he didn't want that, but were you conscious of it?
always conscious all the time about Harry. I don't understand people who wouldn't be in a strange way. I mean, every time I spoke to Brian Lennon, and he cross-party people like that man, because you couldn't dislike him. He was so human, and you could give him the toughest time. I regularly, verbally beat that man up in interviews, and the minute it'd be over, his people would be going, oh, that was very tough to myself and my people, and Brian Lennon would always go, oh, leave her alone, that was absolutely fine, and let's go and have a cup of tea. So I was always aware. I mean, a young sister of mine died of cancer many years ago. So every time I was talking to the minister, to be honest, Harry, I couldn't focus on the economic questions. Although I was asking them, all I kept thinking of, I wonder how is he? He's not looking good, or he is looking good. It was the uppermost in my mind.
Yeah, and funny enough, I would agree, even me looking at it, that is the feeling I got. I wasn't really interested in what he was saying at all. More so you were kind of sorry for him.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if we lose that humanity, Harry, well then, or compassion, that's the day I should stop being an interviewer. It doesn't mean I don't ask tough questions. But of course, I'm around sitting in front of me, and everyone knows in the country he's not well. So that's the first thing. All I want to do is say, Lord, how are you? I hope you're okay.
Yeah. Miriam, you, of course, are one of the few, there's not very many, are able to do a very serious programme like Prime Time and the Leaders Debate, and then go on to your Saturday evening chat show, which is brilliant, and also, like what we're doing now, on the radio. And do you find it much more relaxing doing your chat show and the radio than you do Prime Time?
Well, first and foremost, Harry, you're very lucky where you work. I came into radio late just because I didn't have the time to do it before. I love radio. I think radio's, they say it's an intimate medium, and it is. And the other thing from my point of view, Harry, it's brilliant, is I don't have to worry about how I look. Well, tomorrow night in the chat show, I'll have
Miriam,
to
you don't. You never have to. I'm going to give you a compliment. I hope I don't feel like McWilliams now, but I'm just going to say you always look well anyway.
But the nice thing is on radio, Harry, it takes away that tyranny. I don't have to be thinking, is my dress okay? Is my hair sticking out? You know, I just sit there chatting away to people. I love radio. And the thing about the chat show versus Prime Time, for me, it's just the person I am. I always think we're all multifaceted. Sometimes I'm light, sometimes I'm serious. They're not mutually exclusive. And that's who I am. Mm.
You don't mind if I name drop for a second, do you, Miriam?
Not at all.
Right. Well, you said there about on the radio, when you're on the radio, you don't have to look well. And 7 years ago, I interviewed Mary McAleese. And Mary, of course, was on RT Radio, you know, and I was asking her about that. And she said that she loves radio because her mother can't ring her up afterwards and say to her, that red jumper you had on you last night, don't ever wear that again.
That's so true, Harry. I know my own mother half the time. I could ask the most interesting question on earth, and she'd say afterwards, I wasn't sure. No, she could be often very nice, but she'd say, I wasn't sure about that dress now. I wasn't sure about that.
And Miriam, what about your children? Did they know how, you know, how you're just a mother, but did they know that you're famous and you're, you know, you're very popular and everything like that?
They don't really care. I mean, I have obviously four girls. My kids are age 23, 19, 18, 18, 13, 12, 9, and 5. And the 5-year-old, he's wandering
around. It's
like
calling out bingo numbers there.
Thank God I got them right, Harry.
Yeah.
But look, they don't give a toss, to be honest. The eldest girl at this moment, well, she's about to go down and be a barrister, so she kind of likes it at this stage that people don't dislike her mom. I think she's finally, you know, kind of noting, yeah, that's quite nice. People say nice things. But 5-year-old wouldn't have a clue. He just says, what are you doing on the television?
Did you watch her, Miriam?
Well, not really, you know. Certainly my teenage girls at this stage, they just like me presenting something on MTV. You know, they just don't think what I do is very cool. If I have someone on my chat sheet who's vaguely cool, Harry, they might watch it. But no, they just have no interest, and sure, that's grand by me.
Now, sometimes you travel around the country, particularly when the general election was on there and you're doing interviews. Do you like doing that?
I loved recently when Obama came and I went to Moneygall and I presented from Moneygall for RT. I love getting out and about and I love going around the country because I feel real connection. People are very nice, Harry, and I think they make respect the fact that you make the effort to go there. And I love going there. Sure, I get a night of sleep. No one wakes me up in the middle of the night. No kids coming in to wake me, Harry. Great.
Marie, are you into Twitter is a huge part of most people's lives. Are you very much into it? And into as social networking.
Says, as my mother says, who are these twits? If you don't know what Twitter is, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
It does.
I explain it to people as it's like a text message, but you have to realize it goes to the world. But it's a brilliant form of communication. If you're someone like me and I'm time short, you can send a message out about, like, what's on my show tomorrow night. Everyone who follows me, literally, who can get a message from me, gets it. I also find it very useful, though, Harry, because there's a lot of journalists on it, and there's a lot of people from different walks of life who I wouldn't necessarily know that much about their walk of life, but they'll tweet, text a little bit, and I find out loads of things about areas I wouldn't know that much about, so I find it very informative.
Tell me a little bit about the time of the Late Late Show that you were interested in going on to do the Late Late Show. Was that a disappointment to you, or did you just go with the flow at the time, Miriam?
I went with the flow, and in the end, it was disappointing only because it ended up such a mess. I mean, from my point of view, as I always say, Harry, I'm very lucky. I wake up every morning, I'm healthy, and I've 8 healthy kids. Initially, when it came up, I withdrew, Harry, because I had to give up prime time as well. And one of the reasons I think I have survived as long as I have as a female broadcaster is that I do the serious stuff. And I was very worried. I'm like, my parents are from Kerry and Leash. I'm very straight and traditional by nature and conservative. And I knew I didn't want to give up prime time, because if I gave up that, I risked then doing the Late Late, not being very good at it perhaps, and then having no job and all these children to eat or feed. So I did originally withdraw, and then my name stayed in the ring publicly. So when Ryan, you know, totally brilliantly got it, it just looked like, oh, she didn't get it. But in fact, I didn't want to give up prime time, and if they were going to make me give that up, which they were, I wasn't prepared to do the Late Late. But look, it worked out fine in the end, to be honest, and I'm actually very happy. I ended up doing my radio show, and I think I got the best of both worlds, because the Late Late's quite a hard one to present, and people give you a lot of flack for it.
The prime time is a wonderful program, and like, even doing specials like they did this week, you know, on the Klein report,
yeah,
and everything like that. When you go in the mornings, you don't know. You have to change sometimes to a plan maybe that you had for. It's that kind of a program, isn't it? Something happens, bang, you have to go. Do you find that difficult?
No, that's what I love about it. That's so exciting. I love nothing more than it's about 7 o'clock in the evening, the big story breaks, and everyone around me is going, oh my lord, we have to change the story. And I'm going, yes, it's so exciting. No, I love it. I love the buzz of live news and breaking stories. But the reports like Cloyne, like, they are very important. We did the Ryan and the Murphy reports, and like, they're important to mark all those things as well. I think you often have a responsibility in prime time, though. I find people often say to me, oh, don't be too depressing, Miriam, don't be too bleak, because we come on in the winter a lot at night at about 9:30, and a lot of people in Ireland today are without jobs, as you know, Harry, or their children are emigrating. They want the facts, but they also want a bit of hope. So they always say to me, oh, will you just smile at the beginning at least? You know, like, give us all the terrible news, but at least let us think it's okay, really. So I love people, they're great.
And Miriam, about politics, did you genuinely love politics, which would be your biggest thing that you do in primetime?
Do I love politics? I'm not sure I do love politics, Harry. I love, yeah, like, if I'm being completely honest, I love the connection to people who hopefully have some power over politicians. Do I love the minutiae of every little detail of every Dáil committee? No, I don't, actually, if I'm honest. But I love the way the country works, and I love the way that, you know, politics works. I think that's, I love it, I think, the way most people love it, not kind of as a political nerd.
Now, I know last year it was very, very brief when you were actually mentioned as a presidential candidate. And I'm just thinking, with all the children that you have, they'd have a ball up there in Arras and Uachtaráin, wouldn't they?
No, they wouldn't. It's funny, Harry, because it keeps creeping up. Everywhere I go lately, I was in Bretta's Bay yesterday walking around. I said, oh, would you not stand, Miriam? Would you not go for it? We'll vote for you.
You can still do it, Miriam.
No, I'm to put it on the record with you, because people ask, Harry, I'm not standing for the presidency. But also, you see, I only have a five-year-old. He's far too young, Harry. And the other thing, it's such a noble job, and I speak to it, speak about it with great respect. But my children are too young, Harry. They need me around. And the good thing about RT, although I'm always working, I'm always home on my bed.
My
five-year-old. But whilst in the Oris, you have to go travel a lot and stuff and represent your country.
Can I finally ask you, Miriam, do you like getting awards like the one you got in Derry there last week?
I loved that award.
Tell me a bit about that.
Well, awards don't matter normally. I mean, they're just very nice to get. Most awards, say the TV personality awards I get are, I don't know, Ireland's best legs. Have you seen my legs? If I always say people.
And have you got, Miriam, have you got the best legs in Ireland? We've never seen them.
I certainly do, Harry, and you'll never know. But the doctorate was just very sweet, because I loved John Hume, and I did that programme Ireland's Greatest, and I spent a lot of my formative years working as a journalist in the north and seeing broken-hearted mothers and fathers burying their children on all sides. So I wanted John Hume to win that award, Ireland's Greatest. He won it, and I think the University of Ulster, they say they gave me the doctorate for my entire career, but I know in my heart of hearts it was also largely because of what I did for John Hume.
You were very passionate about John Hume during that programme, Miriam, weren't you?
And I still feel passionate about it. So, you know, everyone rode in the end, and we look at the North now, and we see Martin McGuinness, you know, walking along beside Peter Robinson. Not so long ago, that would have seemed nigh on impossible. Yeah. So he did a lot, and although it's not a perfect piece, it's still a piece that's completely different from the Northern Ireland that existed. So I feel proud of that. Getting that award for John Hume is the thing I feel most proud of in my career.
What is the future for Miriam O'Callaghan in the media?
Well, right now I'm going out to get my five-year-old some Cocoa Pops. I should be making him porridge. Homemade porridge.
I can't imagine you doing that at home.
Yeah, no. So he's knocking on my door as I see him. No, I have no other future today. Tomorrow I'm going up for my chat show. I just love what I do. I have no other ambitions. If I stay healthy, my husband and my family and my kids, my mom, if everyone stays healthy and I can get up every morning and go to work and be happy, Harry, that's my only ambition.
Miriam, can I thank you very, very much indeed for talking to us on LIR this morning. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you. And maybe sometime we'll end up going on your chat show, or maybe if we become politicians or something, you might interview us in prime time. And anything that breaks big, we'll let you know first about it. Is that okay?
You're so sweet, Harry, and I'd like you anytime on my shows.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. We'll take you up on that, Miriam. Miriam O'Callaghan, from everybody here in Louth that's listening to our programme this morning. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Harry. Take care.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Everybody's looking for that something. One thing that makes it all you find it in strange places you never knew it could be.